How cool is it that you go to a church that the spiritual leaders of the church months ago said that we want to focus on what the Bible says about giving? This is where in a movie the cricket sound would be coming at cricket, 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 because you may not think it's cool. It is, there are more verses in the Bible about money than any other topic. 31,000 verses in the Bible. Over 2,300 of them have to do with money. And yet, if you ask most preachers what they're afraid to preach about, guess what it is? If it was love, if that was the number one topic mentioned in Scripture, isn't it weird? If love was the number one topic mentioned, and you came to me and said, man, you need to be preaching about love, and I go, I'm not doing that. Isn't that weird? Everything else is cool, but money is weird. So here's Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew 5, he tears apart the Old Testament. He literally begins what we call the Sermon on the Mount, and he takes the Ten Commandments and kind of deconstructs them and turns them into what we call now the Beatitudes. Right? So it goes from, if you don't do these things, you're going to suffer, and it becomes the, listen, you're going to be blessed if you are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Right? And he just, it's cool how he takes the Old Testament law and makes it practical. He takes the old and he makes it new. In Matthew chapter 7, as he begins to wrap up, he will make a statement that we have completely misused for generations. Don't judge unless you want to be judged. Right? And we've turned that into, you can't judge at all. Judgment is the difference between right and wrong. Sorry, I'm judgy. What I don't do is condemn. And that's what he was talking about. Why church people feel like we've got the authority to condemn, I'll never understand. You're going to hell, I'm not, that's cool. Right? And in the middle of it, he spends an entire chapter in chapter 6 talking about one topic. Money. And not just money, but money in church. And last week he talked about the hypocrites. Ah, I love it. So, this week I brought Truman. Have you guys met Truman? I brought Truman. Because do you remember the hypocrites in the first church, when they gave money, what they wanted to do? What they wanted to have happen? The hypocrites, last week we learned that when they gave a lot of cha-ching, they wanted trumpets blasted. Woo-hoo-hoo! They turned it into a big old party. So, I said, anybody that wants to be recognized publicly for how much money they give or don't give, come on up. I'm ready. Come on! By the way, have you ever heard me play a trumpet? Me neither. This is a first. Danielle says it's harder than it looks. Shut up, Greg. Are you ready? Well, I got to have somebody come up here. Who wants to brag about how much money they gave? Come on, Greg. By the way, I had no intention of playing this, but let's try it. It's broken. Can you believe that in the first church, that early church, that Jesus, church in Jesus' day, people would give money to the offering and then expect trumpets to be blown because they gave a lot of money? Look at that, I played it. Okay, that's all I got. Oh, come on, that's just dumb. We would never do such a thing. I know, let's put nameplates on things. That's just dumb. No kidding! Scariest church I've ever been in is where? Portsmouth, Ohio. Do you remember why? First Christian Church. They were dumb enough to ask me to speak to their youth group. You ever wonder how many of them are in prison now? And I'm walking around the building, and you got all these big concrete steps you got to get up to. And I go to step up, and I look on the very first plate of, you know, stepping up. I go, what is that? It was a dedication plate. This step literally said, this step dedicated in loving memory to. I'm like, what? And I took the first step up, and I stopped, and I looked, and there was another nameplate. This was given to by so-and-so. Every single step into the building had a nameplate. I put my hand on the railing to walk up. What did I see? A nameplate. I put my hand on the door handle. What did I see? On both of them, on the door and on the door handle. And I open the door and look inside. Nameplate. Every pew, every hymnal. And I go in the youth room, and it's dark and it's dingy in there. And I go, let's open some windows. I need some natural light. And I grab the curtains. And this poor young youth leader goes, stop! Don't touch those. Those were given in 1961 by blah, blah, blah. And we're afraid that they'll fall apart if someone tries to open them. And then another pastor buddy of mine is having a congregational meeting. And he makes the announcement. He goes, I never should have done it. Spur of the moment. He said, everything was going great. We were all excited about everything. And the pastor said, I said, and you know what? We really need to replace this carpet. Dude in the back row stood up, yelled, I gave this carpet in 1941. You'll replace this carpet over my dead body. See ya, bro. Right? What are we doing? Right? Man, we got to be careful about this stuff. Today, Jesus continues this discussion of discipleship. Remember, he's in the middle of saying, listen, if you really want to be one of my followers, blessed are they who are merciful. Right? Don't judge. If an enemy comes to you and says, carry my stuff for a mile, you carry it for two. That's literally what he's in the middle of. And he spends an entire chapter talking about money. Today he talks about what we spend our money on. And what God wants us to spend our money on. And please listen to me now. There is one topic that if I preach on it, someone will get up and walk out the back door every single time. Anybody know what it is? Divorce. If I preach on that, guaranteed one of you is going to get up and literally just storm out. So I have learned to begin with grace. Understand this is coming from grace. And if you think I'm the best person to talk about how to spend your money, so when he mentions hypocrite, do you not think that I pay attention? Grace. Be willing to forgive yourself and understand this is not meant to put you down, but to help you understand what God's standard is. Open your Bibles. That was so half-hearted. You don't want to cheer this. Come on. All right. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to begin in verse 21 because he talks about our favorite TV show, Storage Wars. Who's seen it? I mean, between what they need to show episodes of Storage Wars and then Hoarders back to back. Storage Wars, Hoarders, Storage Wars, Hoarders. Because if I watch that, I'm like, hey, I wonder if I'll see family I haven't seen in forever, right? You know? We're the ones that build the bigger barns, and then they look horrible. All right, so verse 19, you've heard these verses all your life, but maybe not the way he intended them. Verse 19, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin, that's a cool word, destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But, remember, old to new, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 21, have you heard this verse? You have if you're big focus on the family fans. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Oh, we've heard these verses forever. Look at verse 19. All this junk that we think is important. Come on. You go to a church where a pastor does Facebook Live every so often, begins 5 minutes early, and what does he show you? Things on or around his desk. All the junk that he's collected over time, right? Here's the problem that Jesus says with all this stuff that we think is important. Our shiny cars and our shiny houses and our shiny clothes and blah, 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 blah. Moths and vermin will destroy it. Why do people jump out of 20-story windows when the stock market crashes? Why? We store up things. I'm not telling you not to invest. Investing is a smart idea. But man, we tend to worship our money or the potential of money, because until you cash that out, it's just numbers, right? But we tend to think of it as stuff. And we place these values on things, and then all of a sudden our world gets turned upside down. Moths and vermins destroy. Thieves will break in and steal. Serious, legit question. Anybody know billionaires that don't live behind bars, gates, that don't have security systems, and don't have to worry about all the stuff they own? Right? That's one thing about growing up as a hillbilly that I keep forgetting all the time. I don't care how stuff looks. Whatever. I got a cool $300 truck. All right? Woohoo! And then I have to remind them, listen, Tuesday morning, you are not going to believe what's going to happen. I'm going to Bluffton, Ohio. Do you know why? Because I got an email from the president of Bluffton University. And she wants to have coffee. That's what hey, listen, I've told them. I spoke in chapel about a month ago, and I said, have you not learned anything? You are going to lose your accreditation. And then I get an email from the president. I don't know what to wear. Because I'm running meat. Thank you, Jenny. I am going to wear clothes. That's a different kind of coffee. Jenny just turned it into a Lifetime movie. Thank you, Jenny. Seriously. Because I'm like, oh, am I going as Danielle's dad? Am I going as the pastor of the church? Am I going, what am I doing? So I think I know how I'm going to go. Me. If she's not impressed, I don't care. That's too bad. Shame on her. But we worry about this stuff, right? Because there's one thing I always worry about dressing up. Anybody know what it is? Where are my shoes? Because it's been forever. I don't know where they are. Jesus is not saying in these verses, don't buy stuff, but he is saying, be careful. This stuff that we buy, that we place this high value on, we tend to end up worshiping the stuff. All right? Anybody know where we park our vehicles? Outside, until mama bought a new van. Anybody know where the new van goes? In the garage. Well, that's not fair. My 1995 Mercury Marquis sits outside. It wouldn't fit in there anyway. Do you see what we do? We worry about this stuff. We place too high a value on earthly things. We want to seem cool. We want to look even cooler. Speaking of coffee, my favorite coffee shop in the world right now is Hazelnut Coffee Company in Salina, Ohio. That place is awesome. That's where I like to meet a lot of people. It is fantastic. The owner of it is Jeff Hazel, who's the mayor of Salina and a fantastic believer. We get into some great conversations, and I always think to myself, what is he doing? Why is he talking to me? Right? So one day, I'm getting ready to leave. He says, hey, Dave, come here. I want you to meet somebody who's standing up by the counter talking, and it was some big wig. And I'm like, this is kind of cool. And I'm like, yeah, all right. Oh, thank you, thank you. All right. It's great to meet you. I turn around, walk out the door going, that was really cool. My zipper was down the entire time. Whoops, you're not surprised. I know, right? Because I'm like, I'm really cool. No, I'm not. And we tend to place value on stuff that Jesus says, wait a minute. Quit placing value on earthly stuff, thinking you're cool. Instead, he says in verse 20, invest in the kingdom. And that's what your offering does. We value what you give. And we spend it wisely. If you want to know details, come and ask us. We'll find out. We'll find out. We'll give you the answer. But guys, listen, you realize every time you give to the offering, right, you're giving to our missions. The PLC and Water for Ishmael. There are people in the Philippines this morning that are hearing the gospel because of you. Or maybe not. Right? Every time you go, I value that. That is so important that we spend it wisely. So verse 21, your treasure reveals your heart. So if you come to my house, I don't care if you come to my house, what are you going to see? Especially if you go in my office, what are you going to see? Don't you dare say junk. We're going to fight. You're going to see Star Wars stuff. You're going to see Star Trek stuff. You're going to see Speed Racer stuff and Steeler stuff, and I love it. I've run out of room. Don't you dare look under the futon when you come to my office. Just pile full of stuff. And what's her name said, should we get rid of some of it? Just ask for a divorce. What was that? Right? You know, and I'm like, stuff. That's why I've entered a stage in my life where I've said, quit getting me stuff. Let's do things. Let's go on trips. Let's do adventures. Let's create memories. Let's spend time with grandkids. Does that make sense? But I still want her to buy me stuff. So if you look around my house, you're going to find some really cool stuff. You're going to find it. If you look around my people, if you go to my wife and say, does your husband value me? If you look at the way that I do my job, are you going to look at me making an impact in people that's eternal? Does that make sense? Yeah, I got stuff. But hopefully at the end of the day, people will look at others and say, there's a guy that has invested wisely in the kingdom. And that's what we got to be careful of, because the more we want, the more we tend to spend on stuff we want, and then when it comes time for the offering or some special project, we find ourselves going, oh, I was going to buy that collectible or whatever it is. It makes you think, doesn't it? So, here in verse 22, Jesus says, be careful about what you're looking at, the sight of things. The eye is the lamp of the body, verse 22. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. What the world's he talking about? But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? There's a book that I've read four times. I want to say five because I know I read it with my son when he was 16, and he poured through that book. He read it faster than I could ever imagine. I think he's read it a couple times. And it has to do with guys and pornography and holding one another accountable. And one of the things the author begins by talking about is in Southern California, he's driving down the road, he's got his convertible, he sees a girl jogging who is not his wife. He looks at her the entire time and smashes into a pole. And he said, I learned that day to bounce my eyes. Not to see what's bouncing, but to bounce away from that, right? Bounce your eyes. And so my son and I will every once in a while go, hey, you bouncing your eyes? And that's what we're talking about. We're trying to hold one another accountable. And Jesus here is talking about our eyes and those things that we look at and go, oh, buy it now. I told you I know. Woof, buy it now. Stupid wish. Right? Boop. Buy it now. We got to watch. Our eyes tend to go, oh, that's shiny. I'm going to spend my money on that. And God's going, really, should you? And that becomes a challenge, right? I wrote this sermon outside of Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania. I'd just gone hiking, sat in the middle of a river. You would call it, they call it a creek. Over here, we would call it a raging river. And I said, in the Starbucks outside of Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania, and I wrote this sermon. And I got it done, and I'm like, okay, because when I write about money, I feel guilty. I feel guilt the entire time, and I feel hypocritical. And so I hopped in the car, left Starbucks, turned to go down the road that I needed to go, not realizing that right beside the Starbucks in the back was a Goodwill. Oh, where's the Goodwill? And I just wrote about bounce your eyes. I passed three. Oh, that was so hard. That was hard for me. But I felt convicted about it. What I've got to learn to do is take beyond just that moment of conviction. Oh, I just wrote about that. And turn it into things that allow me to be able to worship God greater by not always stopping. And guys, if you don't understand addiction, it becomes a physical thing where those endorphins start flying and you're like, right? I took someone out for supper the other night, a couple, and I said, I'm buying. It was just me. Nobody here. And the gal looks at me and says, I want to order a margarita. I said, I don't care. You order a margarita. Well, I'll pay for it if you don't want to. The week I've had, I need it. No, you don't. But come on, I do the same thing. That's shiny. Boop. Right? We've got to be careful because it turns into these addictive things. Right? So Jesus says that when we sit down and take a look at what we value, when we budget, right, it tends to expose the darkness. I'll never forget that. I always wonder where he is now, but he bolted from our church when I talked about this one time. Because he had to look at exactly how much money he spent on cigarettes. And I said, I'm not telling you not to buy cigarettes. But when you're wondering where all your money goes, there it is in black and white. It exposes the darkness when we sit down and budget, doesn't it? That's what he's talking about. If you and I sat down, And we talked about what you give to the offering. I have not done that in 25 years. Not one time have I ever sat down and asked someone how much they give. But if we did, Would you brag about it? Well, I got to be one of the top givers of the church. Maybe. Would you give me an excuse? Well, see, what you got to understand is, oh, I understand. Those things or times tend to expose the darkness within us. So that as I share with my Sunday school class, Deanna and I every once in a while sit down and go, wait a minute, if we turned our offering because it's so easy, automatic, right? And now we give online, we tend to forget about it. And we ask ourselves, should we be giving more, less, where are we at? Does that make sense? So that something becomes routine, and maybe that's just simply become a darkness thing instead of an act of worship. How dark is your heart? And often when talking about money, that's exactly what gets exposed, right? So, who do you serve? Verse 24. This is the verse that proves that Jesus said a man cannot be married to two women. No one can serve two masters. There it is, fellas. There it is. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Guys, seriously, I understand that this, in our marriage, is our biggest challenge. Okay? If you ask me how much is in our account right now, I'll go, oh, I know who to ask. I don't know. Do you know how much you spend it? Oh, I have no idea, right? So I understand how hypocritical it is for me to stand up here and talk about these things. I went to a state park this week around Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania. The last time I was there was years ago to kick off my month-long sabbatical that I didn't know what to do, and I wanted to go on a 3-mile hike and did a 9-mile hike one direction. I misread the map. I ended up in a gravel parking lot at 9:30 at night with no cell reception going, right? That's a great way to kick off a month-long sabbatical. Lost. So this time, man, I'm going back there. I'm going to prove that I can find the right trail and everything else. And I pulled in that parking lot, and I'm like, where's the trail? And I found it. And I did it. And I got back. I haven't posted anything about it yet. I got back. I even added a little trail, and I'm coming back to the parking lot, and I'm like, well, I did it. What I actually did was, and here's a young couple with the map upside down. And I come walking up, and I said, it's confusing, isn't it? I've misread this map a million times. And I'm like, all we want to do is find the trail. And I said, right over there where that brown sign is, you go down those stairs, you turn left, you end up at this old mill, a covered bridge, 3/10 of a mile. It's kind of rocky and I had just done it. And they said, oh, thank you, thank you. And I said, do not thank me. The last time I was here, I misread the map and got totally lost. So good luck. And I walked away. And I walked over to my car, and I dug into my pack, and I hit the thing for the back of the van to pop open, and I threw my pack in there, and I closed the lid and went, I just locked my keys in the car, which I did. I get it. I'm the guy that's been lost before thinking he knows what he's doing. And I've gotten totally lost. And then read the map and pored over the map and looked at people's opinions of it and did it. And I walked that path, and when I was done, I was like, I've been lost before, but now I get it. Now I know where I'm going, and I can help you get there too. That's me this morning. I do not understand all of this stuff. And occasionally I practice it. So I totally get it this morning. I'm not the best expert to talk about this. All I can tell you is I was once lost. By the way, in that gravel parking lot, 9:30 at night, I'm looking at a picnic table. I was dehydrated. and I'm looking at a picnic table going, do I sleep on it or under it? And it began to rain. I didn't have any of my gear with me. Zero. What an idiot. This big white Bronco pulls in, and this gorgeous looking gal gets out, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get pepper sprayed. I'm covered in mud. I look like a shiftless hobo. It was awful. And I thought, I'm getting pepper sprayed. And I started to walk up to her just saying, I'm lost. I don't know what. And she opens the other side of the Bronco, and out gets a gigantic German Shepherd. And I thought, oh, I hope this German Shepherd likes pepper. Right? You know, because pepper spray getting eaten by a dog. I'm like, oh, no. And I said, excuse me. And she jumped. And I thought, here it comes. As she was putting her jacket on, I said, excuse me. And she jumped. And I looked at the back of her jacket. Do you know what it said? S-A-R. Search and rescue. And she was there to train her puppy at night, the trails. I saw her jacket. I went, excuse me. And she jumped. I went, you found me. I know I'm good to answer. And then she pepper sprayed me. And she did not. Guys, that's the Christian walk a lot of times, is wanting to do the right thing. We get lost. And then he finds us again, right? He leaves the 99 and comes and gets us. Don't live in your guilt and sin when it comes to the offering and how you deal with your money. I'm going to get it right. I'm going to get it right. I screwed up. I repent. I'm going to get it right. I'm going to get it right. Right? That's the Christian walk. We're lost. He can find us. And that's communion, right? He gave his life for us. We were lost. He found us. He rescued us. And he'll do so again. Let's pray for our communion time. Father, we love you and we thank you for the fact that when we were so desperately lost, you found us. That we try so hard to get some of this stuff right, but it seems so confusing and guilt kind of creeps in. I pray this morning for the ones that are overwhelmed with finances or the lack thereof. We've done a horrible job as churches teaching this stuff. It's often guilt and manipulation and power, and it's none of those things. Your son came along and told us it's about our hearts. So I pray for our hearts this morning as the closing song is played. I pray during this communion time that we would not only recognize your broken body and shed blood, but whoever needs to be restored, or they need to lift someone up that needs restored, they'll just come on up. And we'll gather around them and carry them to your throne so that which is lost can be found. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, how long have I been in their storm? So overwhelmed by the ocean's shapeless form. Water's getting harder to tread. With these waves crashing over my head. If I could just see you, everything would be alright. If I'd see you, this darkness would turn to light. And I will walk on water, and you will catch me if I fall. And I will get lost into your eyes. I know everything will be alright. drown. So why am I 10 feet under and upside down? Barely surviving has become my purpose. 'Cause I'm so used to living underneath the surface. If I could just see you, everything would be alright. If I'd see you, this darkness would turn to light.
And so to the God that makes everything all right, to the God that finds us when we're lost, to the God that blesses us when we get it right. God, I pray for everyone here this morning that we would place the value on things that have eternal value. And we will be a church that loves God and loves each other. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Been in their storm, so overwhelmed by the ocean, by the ocean, by